What an ending to the box European tour with the thrashing of England. I think the talking point was, if not of our captain, Siyako Lisi, it was one of the Klerk. After he was pulled, and then how he jumped over and then even had time to do his hair. For me, that was the highlight of that game. Besides the fact that we beat England is at their own backyard. But it's all about World Cup. Ronaldo, did he score? Didn't he score? He wanted to claim even a goal even without touching it. Imagine our goat, Ronaldo. But as always, when it comes to World Cup, when it comes to African teams, we have to take out the calculators before last game matches. This is the case. It's a question of who, if we beat this one, if Cameroon beat Brazil, this must happen. Ghana must do this for this to happen. Morocco must do this for this to happen. Tunisia needs to do this. I don't have my calculator here. I've got my right-hand man, Daniel, a.k.a. Trumbis, the 12th man, Remutuai Madumera.
Madumera, whether I touched your studio or not, give it to Ronaldo. Maybe, you know, just a fiber of his fancy hairstyle had a touch on that ball.
The good thing is that it was not given to Ronaldo. All he wants is personal glory, to move away from everyone else and become the leading goal scorer of the World Cup. He's not gonna see it. I saw when Messi is pulling Argentina, Portugal teammates are pulling Ronaldo towards his team. I think he must just accept that it's time to say goodbye. But surprisingly, I saw Pepe at 39, or he looks 45, still playing.
Yeah, Pepe looks good. But you see, let's give it to these top countries. We always complain about experience being discarded. But remember, Brazil have got their own 39-year-old, my namesake, Daniel Alves, on the bench as a backup. And you saw Portugal, Pepe came in at the time when they needed him the most, because remember, Danilo was out, the man who was doing well in that position. So, you know, the man who came in is a seasoned campaigner. That's what you need in a tournament.
After a slow start by African teams, they redeemed themselves in the second round, second matches, except for Tunisia, who, for me, I think it was disappointing that they went down to Australia. But big up to Morocco for beating Belgium. They stand a good chance of qualifying. What can we say about Ghana? What a game. Leading 2-0, allowing South Korea to come back, but snatching it late in that game, winning 3-2 even. Eventually, but for me, Cameroon, the indomitable Lions, doing what we expected from them. They drew 3-3. What a thriller with Serbia. Do you think they've redeemed themselves now? Do we are positive that at least one or two can make it to the knockout stages?
Yeah, after what you've just said now, there is definitely hope for Africa. But my worry is one, you know, as much as they show that attacking spirit going all out, I think it's also reflect on what is happening at the back. They just concede too much and put themselves under unnecessary pressure. I mean, you saw how Son and his South Korean team came back in that Ghana game. I mean, it created a lot of heart-stopping moments for Africans. But I think, you know, a team like Cameroon and Ghana, they must actually work something out at the back. That's where they are a bit shaky, and they sort of always undo the good work that they do up front, which is scoring goals.
As expected, the big guns, Brazil qualified after two games, France qualified after two games, The same with Portugal after two games. Why do we always have to do it the hard way?
Exactly the point that I mentioned, where you look at, as much as you have the ability to score, rather minimize mistakes at the back, because sometimes a clean sheet goes a long way. Because also you look at these teams that have already qualified, that you just mentioned, the top guns, how many goals did they concede? They concede quite minimal, because even, you know, at the time when you look at the permutations, when things are tight at the top, goal difference will always work out.
If we look at the remaining matches, Morocco, Canada already out of the tournament after losing the two games. Should we say Morocco have one foot in the last 16?
Yes, absolutely, because, I mean, if you look at their group clearly, they remember their level on 4 points with Croatia. It is possible for them, I mean, to go through. You saw how clean they beat the more fancier Belgian side. You know, they can only be hope. And remember, just recently, we were looking at a story that holistically look at Moroccan football, you know, how they've been doing so well, looking at their vision, where they want to be, both at club level and national team level, you know, right across to even their women football. So I still have hope for Morocco that they can represent us well there.
For me, I think my best bet will be on them. They've been on the up. They did badly at the AFCON January. But like you're saying, they are on the up. They've been on the up, which is good, for them, which is good for the continent. But there's a crash game happening on Friday, Ghana against Uruguay. Who can ever forget 2010 FNB Stadium? One Suarez, Luis Suarez, one Asamoah Gyan, when he had a chance to put Africa for the very first time in the quarterfinals. Is it quarterfinals? The semifinals of the World Cup. Gee, fluffing that penalty. Now they have a chance to redeem themselves. Uruguay have to win this game after losing to Portugal on Monday night. Ghana know that a draw might suffice.
Yes, you know, my worry when the draw was made was that, given that this is going to be the last game, I've always asked myself whether there will still be anything left to eat, whether it still be having any bearing on the race. And then for the fact that it's a must win for Uruguay, I mean, it's going to even take back the moment of 2010, you know, back into the fold to say, you know, this must be a win at all costs for Ghana, to say sweet revenge for people who denied us to progress the last time around. So let's see if Suarez can chew more than what he can bite, or vice versa, and because he's gonna be kicking chai jancha.
I think Suarez, he must just follow Ronaldo. I think it's over for him. I saw the two games on Monday night. He started on the bench. The first game, he was not there. I think he must just follow Ronaldo and forget about football. Brazil, obviously, two out of two, they were made to sweat on Monday night by Switzerland. But, you know, Brazil always be Brazil. Even without Neymar and Danilo, they made it with a clean record, still to concede a goal. Cameroon have to win this game against Brazil on Friday. Brazil already qualified, guaranteed a spot in the last 16. Do you think but even their fringe players, they are still top players in some leagues. Do you think Cameroon has what it takes to win this game?
Yeah, if the fighting spirit that we saw Cameroon displaying against Serbia, leading the game at some point, losing the game at their grasp, and still managed to draw that game in that 6-goal thriller, I think Aboubakar has got a big assignment in his hand to make sure that Cameroon goes through. So, but based on the spirit, the sort of determination that we saw from Rigobert Song's guys, I do have, you know, slight hope that maybe, considering that Brazil have already qualified, you know, they've got nothing to lose. Yes, they might want to go with a clean record of having won, maybe taking all the 9 points on offer. But yeah, it's for Cameroon to do it for Africa and surprise Brazil.
So after two rounds of matches, who has impressed you the most? Who has been disappointing for you?
Maybe from Group A, you would have thought that Senegal, at least, would have put themselves in a clear position, you know, with a game to spare. They made things difficult for them. I'm disappointed at, you know, how they conceded those goals against the Netherlands, and then they still conceded against Qatar. So, yeah, for me, it's quite disappointing that they didn't give me the start that I had expected, because, I mean, in that game, they really showed that England was there for the taking. Also, I'm quite disappointed with Argentina. They haven't really picked up the pace I would have expected them to be, the level that they're supposed to be. The same goes to Germany, the former champions as well. They haven't given us that, you know, confidence that, you know, they can go all the way. But yes, as expected, I expected Brazil to easily go to the last 16 stage. But I was quite surprised by France, with all those injuries, their star players out, almost half of their stars not being at this tournament, the Karim Benzema's, the Pogba's, the N'Golo Kante's. But, you know, they didn't break a sweat to reach the last 16.
The host, they are now like South Africa, the second host. The history of the World Cup, to be knocked out in the first round. At least they scored a goal against the against Senegal. But was this expected? Did you expect any resistance, any resilience from the Qatari team?
Yeah, no, it was expected, man. But Qatar, even though they've got that peak, yeah, players coming from all over the world. So I don't really even see anything that says they've been in camp for 6 months. I think they were just fulfilling the contract as host. They have to put up the team there, but from what they offered at this World Cup, yeah, it was expected that they will be the first country to be eliminated.
Unfortunately, they've got that record, blemish record. It's not just the South Africa. At least when history will always absolve us to say we are not the only country to have been, the only host nation to have been knocked out in the first round. The support has been good. I don't think the temperatures have had any effect on the impact on the field of play. Have you seen anything untoward?
No, not at all. The picture that we see on television is your, you know, true, the razzmatazz that you'd expect from fans who are flocking at the stadiums. And speaking of which, I've seen the attendances have been good there, irrespective of the magnitude of the fixture. It looks like, you know, people just took it into their strides, even though some of the pusas were forced to go to the game sober because they bontate ba le ba thapelo ba re.
But khalas, Mubarak, Mubarak. I think that's enough for the World Cup. Back home, Kapa reuniting with Kaizer Chiefs. What is the picture that comes to your mind when you think of Kapa and Kaizer Chiefs? I only have one, Saddam Make.
You are quite right, Vuvuzela, with that designer, yeah, these stripes.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But again, you know, I still remember a young Sheikh Skungwani being picked up by a Nissan E20 Kibra Spike or Alex go 11th Avenue. He was always wearing those Kappa track suit. And, you know, like for us, it's like, hey, you know, this guy, he must be having all the good things in the world. Actually, back here, we are double deck.
And finally, before I let you go, I can't let you go without talking about the family stand that the Stadium Management South Africa wants to introduce at starting at FNB Stadium and going to other stadiums. What a novel idea. Do you agree with me?
Yes, because after all, Aguirre, all we want is football to be a family affair. I mean, sometimes we do wish to take our kids to the stadium, but if Malome Ali Bizia Tsopa Zole Mole, and then the other one who's not sober-minded, taking things, you know, that would need the detergent to clean his mouth, the vulgar that comes out there. Yeah, you'd need such platform, you know, to bring kids to the stadium, so that we encourage this spirit of togetherness. You know, when it's a family affair, it should be a family affair, a nice outing. So I agree 100%.
Mara, if a member of the family wants to consume something, although it's a family affair, shouldn't he be part of that family stand?
But remember, again, you'll do it responsibly, because I think what they are pushing here is for people to be responsible in every way possible.
Hey, I think on that sober note, let's leave it there. You said it a lot. Remotwai, jaga mitlarra, ke bolebogile.
I'm off to Qatar, ke bolebogile, spirit.
Thank you.